Subscriber's amazingly ultimate fundraising superstar podcast, talking all things fundraising, charities, nonprofits, and more. Here's your host, as always, Simon Scriver.
I love that music and intro. I want it to be like even more sinister and, you know, the big breaking news splashing in and just like it's end of the world fundraising news. That's what I want. You're all very welcome. Hello, how are you? Short one today. You've probably noticed I'm trying to check in live more because we're all under house arrest or something along those lines. Lots of people working from home, lots of people moving stuff online. And so just trying to help people who maybe aren't used to working alone, used to being stuck at home, trying to create that community feel, if you like. And so just going through again this week, going through some of the top news articles in the fundraising world. If you have any thoughts, any opinions, anything you want to share, then feel free to comment on whatever social media platform you are looking at. If you want to come on and join the video chat, there is a link wherever you're looking at. You can click that and I'll bring it in. Otherwise, if you just want to comment on LinkedIn, Twitter, the other one, YouTube, and then please do, and I'll keep an eye out. So let me tell you what we're going to be looking at today. Let me make that smaller. No, let me make it bigger. Oh, look, we've got some people watching already. Laura Crowdacre, Caroline Mitchell, and my son are watching. Hi, Baba. Hi, Harrison. Harrison, do you want to come on and chat with me? Please. He doesn't like doing video calls with me. He likes texting me, though. He's with his mom at the moment. Hey, John. Hey, Vaughn Thomas. Hey, Hootie. Hey, everyone. So, let's go through a quick chat, and then I'm running a webinar at 5 o'clock on, God, I can't even remember what it's about. I think it's about telephone fundraising over at charityhowto.com. If anyone wants to join that, it is a paid webinar, but you are more than welcome to come on. My son, Harrison, says he will not talk to me on the video, which is fine. But still, I have Hootie, so I don't need you to come on the video. Hootie is on the video. Anyway. So COVID-19, we did a COVID-19 special yesterday and the day before, so I won't spend too much time talking on it, but obviously people are very worried. Funders are being called on to make their funding unrestricted so that, you know, to ease the pressure on nonprofits. Appeals are going out, which I think is a good thing. You know, I think people are still going to want to donate. You know, there might be some time of uncertainty where people hold back their money, but I think eventually, I mean, what I said yesterday on Twitter was that I think this is going to be the biggest campaign of all time in terms of just people giving, you know, in terms of the level that are being given, the level of donations that go through. COVID-19 is going to mobilize more people than anything ever has before. So I think, you know, there's a lot of fear and a lot of worry, but I also think there's going to be a lot of generosity at this time. And I think we're going to have to reevaluate the way a lot of these things work. I mean, it's really highlighted some of the issues in terms of how we deal with funding, in terms of how we deal with money. And so I think this is going to make some changes in that. Now, there's a few sessions coming up. People are running free sessions about COVID-19 and the nonprofit sector and fundraising in particular. And so I've been sharing a bunch of those on social media. Most of them, if not all of them, are free to register for. So you should check them out. On Monday the 23rd, Akivo is doing one at 10 a.m. They're doing it through our Fundraising Everywhere platform. That is a free event where they'll be talking about the impact that COVID-19 is having on nonprofits and some tips around dealing with that. If you go to ACEVO, Akivo. If you go to the website, you can buy tickets for that, or you can register for it for free. On Monday afternoon, we have an Institute of Fundraising event, also running through Fundraising Everywhere. Institute of Fundraising Northeast are doing it, and I know a bunch of the other regional institutes of fundraisers are dialing into it, coming into it. There's going to be networking on that, virtual networking on that. There'll be some sessions about working remotely and some tips on working from home. And there'll be some other interactive stuff coming on. So do dial into that. That's 4 o'clock UK and Irish time. The Institute of Fundraising Northeast COVID-19 special. Some other big events coming up, which I can't necessarily announce yet, but they'll be coming through. Keep an eye on the Fundraising Everywhere website or sign up to the Fundraising Everywhere mailing list and you'll see that. We're trying to do more and more free stuff because obviously everyone's trying to get their head around this. We've also still got the very affordable training and conferences coming up. So do check out fundraisingeverywhere.com. What else did I want to talk about? London Marathon cancelled. I know I mentioned that the other day. Oh, my son has said, good luck, Dad. I'll talk to you later. See you, baby. See you, Harrison. Thanks for coming by. Why won't you video chat with me? London Marathon is cancelled, which is obviously a big impact for charities. The VHI Women's Mini Marathon in Dublin is cancelled, which is a huge issue for charities. That's one of our biggest fundraisers, biggest sources of income in the country, in Ireland. Lots of the events are going to be cancelled. Greta Thunberg, her climate strike has shifted into a sort of digital strike. She's talking about carrying on, but not necessarily traveling for it, not necessarily interacting with people, but continuing this digital strike from home. Yes. The other story, it seems weird talking about anything that's not COVID-19 related. It's like, what's the point? Because it's just immersed everything. But the Channel 4 documentary last week, the Dispatches thing, I think that's worth talking about at the moment. If anyone wants to chat about it, it's quite interesting. What they're talking about is they went undercover. So the Channel 4 team, Channel 4 Dispatches team, they went undercover and they started approaching. I'm trying to find the article here. Sorry. Can't find it. They started approaching celebrities, asking them to represent this charity for a fee. Let me see exactly how this went down. They offered money to celebrities to promote charity in the hoping that it would drive, you know, the celebrities making money from it. But the theory is that they're bringing in more supporters, more followers off the back of it. There we go. The scandal, or the perceived scandal, is that celebrities are taking money from this. I'm curious to hear what people think about this. Is it just the same as advertising in any other way? You know, you pay for TV ads on Channel 4. You pay for billboards. You pay for, you know, any appeals, anything that you push out there, you pay for them with the hope of making a greater return than what you paid for. Are celebrities the same thing? We put an investment into them in the with the goal of getting more money back. Or, as Channel 4 put it, and you know, a number of people would agree with them, is it unethical that these people shouldn't be taking money because it's not transparent? They should be doing it out of the goodness of their own heart. Maybe even that they're celebrities, so they're rich already, so they don't need this, so they should just be doing this. A lot of pressure on that. I'm curious what you think. For me, it's like, it's just another medium, isn't it? You have to put money into this medium, another floor of capitalism. But if you, you know, if you're investing in this and everyone knows what's happening with it, is it necessarily any different from advertising on TV? I don't know if it is. So Channel 4's Dispatches documentary, Celebs for Sale, the Great Charity Scandal. Celebs for Sale, the Great Charity Scandal, has been slammed by viewers as a manipulative mess as they filmed Harry Redknapp and Caitlyn Jenner getting paid £20,000 each to promote a fake charity. So actually what this article is saying is, yes, some people agree with the Dispatches stance and are critical of celebrities, but actually, sounds like some people see the other side of it. The pair, this is Harry Redknapp and Caitlyn Jenner, the pair, who have been known to help promote charities, were set up with the filmmakers via an agency to endorse bogus charity, Cuppa, which claimed to fight plastic pollution in Africa. I actually quite like that for a name for charity. Only Stanley Johnson's reps flagged that it was not a registered charity and refused to be involved with them. I mean, that's scandalous that No one else is checking if this is a registered charity or not. They're just saying yes or no. Like, yeah, we should be doing due diligence. On both occasions, the agency set up their fee with Harry and Caitlin and allowing the filmmakers into their homes under the pretense they were there for a photo shoot they could use to promote the charity on their Instagram account. Harry was even seen willingly making them cups of tea and joking with the filmmakers about slouching on the sofa and talking about his other work with local charities. He's a patron of 16. Viewers were left uneasy then when both sides defended themselves with statements, claiming they were either not told about the fee, that seems easily proved or disproved, or that they were of the belief the charity was being launched by private investors to help get the world out on copper. I mean, it seems reasonable. Talking about the scenes online, some felt that the series intentionally tried to mislead the viewers as well as the subjects of the sting, while others thought it was double standards that a journalist and film crew could fly out to LA in order to entrap Caitlin. I like this article. Many watching at home blamed the agencies themselves for immediately asking for money from the charities before approaching the celebs for news. Yeah, this is horseshit, isn't it? This is rubbish. It's just another one of those things where we're trying to create outrage and create a scandal for a charity. You know, whether they should be paid or not for this stuff, like, they're just like anyone else. They're relying on income to survive. I mean, like, Caitlyn Jenner and who's the other one? Harry Redknapp. Like, are they? I'm sure they need money. So they're in the same circumstances as a lot of us. They're going to do it if they're getting paid for it. And is it that different from Channel 4 charging us, the sector, to advertise on their TV channel? What is the difference? There is no difference. What is the difference from the Channel 4 journalists getting paid and profiting off a documentary about charity donations and things like that, using that time and using that airspace when actually they could have used it to highlight something, some sort of injustice in the world that we might want to address? So is it hypocritical? Is it baloney? I would say yes. Take care of yourself and each other. Sorry, I'm just like swamped. So today is a quick one. And really all the news is coronavirus, you know? So the idea of dealing with any of the news, this is probably what you're feeling as well. It's like, it's hard to focus or what's the point in thinking about anything else, you know? And I don't mean to sound nihilistic because I'm not. I feel quite positive about this. You know, there's a lot of weird shit going on, but I think there's going to be a lot of positive impact on the world, a lot of positive changes. Already we're seeing stuff which is actually like quite nice, you know, quite like community coming together and people getting their priorities in order. And just like, you know, if you take away the sickness, which is obviously a big part that we're not, you know, it's easy to say take away. But you can see lots of positive and healthy changes which we're being pushed into or we're being encouraged into because of everything that's going on. So there is a lot of hope and positivity. But having said that, it is very hard to, like, get your head around anything else, isn't it? Because the uncertainty and because it's just, like, that's all there is. And I assume things will settle down and you know, very quickly in the coming weeks, and we'll find our habits and we'll find our routine and it'll be better. But this week it just seems weird. So even a fascinating story about Caitlyn Jenner, I'm having trouble concentrating on because it's all about coronavirus. All right, let's see what the comments say. Yeah, Laura Crowdacre. Laura just hangs out on LinkedIn all day. It's great. I have to get her on this. She did a podcast episode with me before. But she's a delight. She should come in the chat. So she says, I've lost it now. Oops. I once worked with Ricky Gervais. That's my Ricky Gervais impression.
You what?
I once worked with Ricky Gervais and he did so many things for us for free. He was amazing. And that is amazing, working for free and volunteering. But also, you know, there's the question of like, why should they work for free? You know, it's lovely that they want to, but it's almost like we should be insisting on paying them a little bit. And if they want to donate it back, they can, or don't do whatever with it. But it's like, I'm not, there's like a hypocrisy in relying on volunteers, isn't there? A little bit. I don't know. Let me think about it. Alex Valadkevich. Sorry, Alex, I butchered that. Alex Valadkevich says, it is just another investment, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. I mean, to the charities who are paying celebrities, you know, there's going to be a handful out there. Oh, actually, my friend was offered money to promote a charity. He's a musician. I have to get him on. The charities who are doing it, they're doing it because it makes money for them, don't they? That's why they do it. And so if they're doing it repeatedly and it's not making money for them, it just naturally doesn't happen. So whatever. Laura Kranicker is joining us today. A very special guest. She likes to come in and criticize by text. And now we have her on video. So here she is. Laura.
Simon.
How are you?
My surname is Kradache or Crydake. Not Crydake.
I know.
It makes me laugh every time you say that.
I started saying it wrong as a joke.
I know.
And then it got out of hand to the point where you can't actually remember what's real and what's fake anymore.
Did you hear about that comedian that changed his name to Hugo Boss to annoy Hugo Boss?
No, okay. That's good.
I will send you on Facebook. I might change my name to Laura Crydake.
It's good. It clicked. Sorry. How are you? How are you holding up?
I'm great. I've been in self-isolation for 10 days because I've got a disabled son who's at huge risk.
Yeah.
He's not here though right now.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm good. I'm just trying to do what we can for our clients and just look after as many people as possible. What I'm seeing though, which has filled my heart with joy, is so many organizations coming together, especially in my local area, and the sense of community that I've witnessed personally has been incredible. Mm. So that's really lovely.
There's a doom and gloom vibe, yes, but there's also that real positive vibe of just like, this is crossing groups. Like, this isn't just like one group against another group. It's like all of us. It's like a unified thing. How do we get through this together? I mean, that's not universally true, but it does feel very positive, doesn't it?
It does. And I think the thing is that everybody is going through it at the same time, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Someone said actually because I hang out on LinkedIn all the time, apparently. I get a notification whenever you're doing them, so I'm like, I'll hop on that. You know, it isn't like a disaster that's happened in one remote area, or, you know, like, heaven forbid, a terrorist attack in one city. You know, everyone is going through it at the same time. So people that have got more resource or whatever it might be are more open to kind of sharing it, I guess, which is really nice. But the downside of it is being unable to do all of the nice things that you take for granted. But then
tell me, because I'm interested in this. What are the things, what are you missing?
Well, I go to church a lot, so like I'm really missing that. But it's been really nice because we've been able to like do stuff on Google and Facebook and things like that.
Did you go to a virtual church?
We did. I've set up a couple actually. And actually, do you know what? The thing that I really love doing is I've been talking to people in my local community about doing it for about 2 years. Yeah. Every time I'm like talking to them about it and they're like, oh yeah, one day. And then all of a sudden they're like, can you help us set up a virtual church? So I was like, yes.
So we did that. Everyone skates on.
Yeah. So we normally have like 300 people attend a service and we had 4,500 views. And it's like a cool church. Like it's, you know.
What makes it cool?
The people that are there.
Is it one of those churches where everyone puts up their hands like that when they're singing?
Not everyone.
But a lot of people?
Maybe. It's like a dance. Like we dance.
I was raised Catholic, so I used to go to Catholic church. I used to go to mass, and
it's not like that.
No, yeah, which is really boring. Do they do? Because we do "Peace be with you," where you shake hands. Do you normally do that?
Yeah, I mean, I go to two different ones. I go to like a hipster kind of like Pentecostal.
You do like a church crawl.
and then I go to like a C of E church as well. We did do the
no, you can't get enough.
I don't like the shaking of the hands thing anyway. I think it's a bit weird.
Why? Hygiene or just like that was one of my favorite bits. I thought it was lovely. It was like,
did you give out business cards as you do?
palming them.
I don't know. It's just not. It's not my thing, really. I like to just almost be like anonymous when I'm there and just.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that I've missed that. I've missed like I've not seen any of my family because like the majority of my family are not taking it seriously in the sense that like my mother is still going to get her hair done and her nails done and like shopping and going out for coffee, and she's like, oh, I've had cancer twice, so like, you know, I'm like, you're mad. Whereas like other people that I know are taking it really seriously.
Where do you sit on the seriousness level? Are you 10 freaking out, like avoiding everyone, or where about?
I think if I didn't have my son that had had pneumonia when he was little and he was critically ill with that, I don't think I would be as worried as I am. But because I have to be responsible and think about him, I am really concerned because ultimately we've never faced anything like this in our generation or our parents' generation. And so I think, you know, I'm realistic in that, you know, at some point I'm going to have to go out and do stuff. But if I can avoid it, then I'll just stay at home.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? It's just in moderation and not doing, like, I think we used to do a lot of stuff for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, it just feels like everything's a bit more purposeful at the moment. I don't know if that's the right phrase.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you work at Unity 4. And do you normally work at home or do they have an office?
We have like several offices, but for 20 years, this is when I'm talking to people. I've had journalists on the phone to me today actually asking about it. We've been set up as a remote working business for 20 years because we hire people that don't want to work in an office or can't work in an office for whatever reason. We hire people like veterans. We hire, you know, every type of person. And so we are fully set up to work from home. So our fundraisers, are all trained, and we've got a really cool system, which, without this sound like a sales pitch, but I just think it's interesting to know, because when I joined, I was like, wow, that's incredible. Like, it's completely virtual, and you can listen in to a phone call from anywhere in the world by just clicking a button live.
Wow.
So we're connected constantly. And
What do you do? Telephone fundraising.
Oh, okay. So we do telephone fundraising, but we do every type of telephone service that one would wish for. So like inbound, outbound, campaigns. We do lots of different things. But the cool thing is, because we're all remote, it hasn't felt so extreme for me because I'm at home all the time anyway. Yeah. So for me, it's just like, you know, the social aspect that's affected me. But
so are you seeing a spike in people wanting to use your services, or is it too soon and people are still very like trying to figure this out, or what do you think is going to happen?
We've seen a spike in people wanting to bring things forward, and people that had really lovely balls and galas and events planned that have had to sadly postpone them, saying, well, can we do our campaigns earlier with you, and what capabilities have you got to run campaigns if we wanted to do them now? The majority of people that I've spoken to haven't been kind of like, you know, worrying and freaking out or anything like that. But my main concern was just checking in on all of our clients that are, you know, like hospices and children's hospitals and things, and, you know, the immediate services that, you know, need to make sure that they've got everything.
Yeah.
And that they're not going to be affected. And we've just been given now loads and loads of free advice and training on how to set up a team working remotely, how to train people remotely, how to keep team morale up, how to check on people, things like that, because we do it all day, every day. So if anyone on that's watching needs advice on any of that, then message me. We're just giving out as much info as we can.
That's cool. Where do people find you, Laura? Where's the best place? You hang out on LinkedIn a lot.
Apparently. Obviously, LinkedIn. I don't really use Twitter anymore. I had like a Twitter.
Yeah, you've kind of fallen out of love with Twitter, have you?
I just try and cut things out of my life that I don't need. I don't like wasting time on stuff.
You're right.
Yeah, so I had a Twitter detox, and I never came back really.
I do that with Facebook. I like cut myself off for a while, and actually within a week I was like, this is it, I'm done, I'm never going back on Facebook. It was great. Twitter I can't really shake, but Facebook I was like, no.
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, and that's it really for now.
Cool. You need to get some pictures on your wall. If you're going to be, is that your office? Is that your
office? So I'm in my office. I've got pictures above my desk, but this is now my 8-year-old son's desk, and he was doing origami yesterday.
Oh, cool.
So, which is why it's a real mess. I'll get a picture of Fundraise Everywhere.
Well, actually, I can't announce it yet, but we have some cool posters coming out. I'll send you one. John Lepper said, I'm just looking at comments. John Lepper said that the boomers are being pretty casual about this all.
Oh.
Is John not a boomer? How old's a boomer?
Like a baby boomer?
Yeah, I feel like that's John. Caroline Gaskin said, our town is really weird. People are still just out and about, going to the shops. Car parks are full. I mean, yeah, the English vibe is kind of weird.
Yeah, although they have told me that they're closing my son's school. He's in year 8, my eldest, and he's been out of school for a while now because we took him out, but they took all of the kids out of year 8 and 9 yesterday. Gosh. So I think that England is starting to catch up.
Starting to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. All right. Come here. I'm not going to keep you, but let me ask your opinion. Did you watch that Channel 4 dispatches about celebrities getting paid?
No, my parents rang me up about it. I've not had TV for 12 years.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, what do you think about celebrities getting paid to promote charities?
I mean, it depends in what context. I don't know. I would like to think that charities work with celebrities because there's meaningful synergy and that celebrities want to do that. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it that much. My initial reaction is it's not very honest. Sorry if you can hear my teams dinging away. Right. I think people are wondering what I'm doing. I don't know. I personally, if I ran a charity, wouldn't pay somebody to endorse my cause. No. But I've been really fortunate to work with amazing celebrities. Not that I'm going to name drop them all because...
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Who else?
Oh, gosh. Do you really want me to go through them?
Yeah, give us a couple.
So I worked with Ricky Gervais. I worked with a whole bunch of celebrity YouTube influencers
that weren't that
big at the time. I worked with Estee Lalonde when she was kind of just starting to get big. Now she's got like millions of followers.
The YouTube influencers,
yeah.
When they just have a conversation with you, do they talk like that? Do they talk like that in real life, or is that just when they're
like video? Really intense?
Yeah. Hey, Laura. Hey, it's so good to see you. Like, are they like that 24/7, or is it just...
No, they're really down to earth. And
are they really?
A lot of the time they would bring their dogs to the meeting because it was an animal charity that I worked for.
Who did you like? Who's a good one?
I like them all, genuinely. Yeah.
Would I have heard of any of them?
Depends what you're into. Are you into makeup tutorials?
Yeah.
I was a makeup artist, don't forget, for a long time before I got into fundraising, so that's how I got them. I've done some work with some... really lovely folk within the vegan community too, and they were fun.
Like vegan celebrities?
Yeah, like Ricky Gervais. Can I just tell you real quick how I got Ricky Gervais?
This is what we want. We want juicy celebrity drama.
So I was in my first ever fundraising job, didn't really know what I was doing, but I watched this series called Derek, and there was this moment in the series where he was like, talking about these pickled onions and how much he loved them. So I was like, I would love to work with him. There's so much synergy between what he's doing in his personal life, and he's like a massive animal lover.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the grocery store and bought the best jar of pickled onions I could find. This was like 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
And sent them with a handwritten letter to Derek, not to Ricky, but to Derek. And I was like, I'm a massive fan of yours.
So good.
I just wanted to see what would happen. I never actually thought anything would come off the back of it.
Yeah.
I've found these pickled onions and I thought that you'd like them. I'm sending them to your team member. It was actually his manager.
Yeah.
And I'd love to talk to you because the way you saved that baby bird in your episode, he phones an ambulance for a baby bird that he's found on the ground.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
It's really good. It's a great show.
You know that I'm an emotional person anyway.
Yeah. I teared up a couple of times in that.
So I sent him this letter and his manager wrote to me and said, your letter had us in stitches and we thought it was so funny that we've got to set up a meeting with you and to hear about the charity's work.
So good.
So that was how that happened.
That's so good.
But I didn't do it thinking that I was going to get to work with them.
You did it because that's your style. That's the kind of person you are. And I think, you know, to be a good fundraiser, you have that in you, that delighter gene, where you want to give people something special and different. And it makes you a good fundraiser. I love it. It's fantastic. Oh,
thank you. Well, I was just being, curious and playful, wanting to send someone a jar of pickled onions. I'm going to send you something now in the mail.
Oh, yeah. All right. Thanks. That's sweet. Yeah. I've gotten some big news. So I'm going to do my breaking news. Hold on. John Lepp is not a boomer. John Lepp is not a boomer. I've just been informed online.
Is he just in the millennial cusp?
Like, there's no fucking way he's a millennial. What's after boomer? It's me. It's like Gen X, isn't it? Gen X and Gen Y.
How old are you?
I'm 40.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just turned 40 2 months ago. How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
47?
33.
Yeah, so you're a millennial.
Am I? Yeah, well, I think I've got the mindset of somebody that's probably a baby boomer.
Yeah. Yeah. You're an old soul.
Maybe.
No. All right. John claims he's Gen X.
I'll message you on Instagram later, John. We can talk about it.
Yeah, you can tell he's a Gen X because he's on Instagram. He's on
TikTok. I love John's posts.
I love John. I do miss John on Instagram and I miss him on Facebook.
I'm hoping that this Corona stuff will be over though by November because we're meant to be going out to the Canadian fundraising conference.
Yeah, I was going to go to that too.
Well, yeah.
Have you been to that AFP Congress?
No, but I'm a massive ice hockey fan.
Really good.
Kind of like dual interest for me.
I have someone who can probably hook you up with hockey tickets. It might not be like an amazing game, but she hooked me up with tickets before and it was great. But AFP Congress, is that going to go ahead? I don't know. I meant to be interviewing two of the AFP Congress committee soon, but I imagine they don't know.
I don't know. We'll find out. I'm Sonia, whose surname I can never pronounce. You know who I mean?
Crowdacre.
Yeah, she's part of the family. Sonia. I don't know how to pronounce
it.
Sorchuk. Yeah, maybe. We'll go with that.
You know we're live, do you? You know we're broadcasting?
I know we're live.
Okay, yeah. So,
I don't mind. I have my surname pronounced wrong all the time.
Yeah,
But she has been talking to me about that conference for about 5 years. And every year I'm going to go and then something happens. And then, this year my team at Unity 4 were like, yeah, let's go. We also wanted to go to South by Southwest.
Yeah.
But it got cancelled, which is really sad because
I'd like to go to that.
Well, the implications that's going to have on that town in Austin, Texas, it said that they were going to lose $238 million.
I never realized it was so big.
It's huge,
and it's like we lost our St. Patrick's Day festival, which is obviously a huge spinner for Dublin, for Ireland. It's a shame. The AFP Congress, though, you know, if that goes ahead. It's so good. It's like one of my favorite conferences. The hotel's lovely. Everyone's, you know, Canadians. They're just like
Canadians.
So lovely. It's really good content. It's great conference.
Yeah, and I want to see the Blakely lot as well.
I know. I was just emailing. I was emailing Maeve Strathy today. Yeah. Well, I'd say they're going fucking nuts because the Blakely star, you know, because they're all working from home.
Today?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there was like some of their team are on my Facebook. Okay. And they posted like a picture of everyone online at the same time on this Google Hangout call. And they're talking like, they're such a spirited organization, right? Their culture's right.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what it must be like for them.
Yeah, I'd say they're all freaking out. I'd say they're not, because they're not exactly introverts, are they? They're like,
they're freaking out about what though? Like not being able to see each other.
Yeah, just like the noise and hustle and bustle and stuff. They're all like, wah! And just like, you know, they're real active or something. Do you know? Obviously I'm making lots of assumptions and I hope they call me out on it for being wrong. But they just strike me as a group. Like,
sorry, they might start their own like TikTok fundraising channel or something off the back.
Do you know me? That's me and John are trying to be the first fundraising TikTok channel, we just can't.
Because he's a millennial, right?
Because he's a millennial, so he knows about this stuff, and he explains it to me as a boomer how it works.
But, maybe he can teach me. I don't even know what TikTok's about.
No, it's more time wasting. Okay, I'm going to have to wrap this up because I do have a webinar in 20 minutes. Laura, thanks for finally coming on.
The only time I haven't done it before is because I've not had any makeup on. Presentable.
makeup is done. Makeup is finished. Oh, no, nobody has to put on makeup anymore. You can just use filters on your camera. But listen, look after yourself. Look after your son. And... sure, I'll chat to you soon. I'm sure you'll be back on now that you've done one.
Oh well.
All right. Okay, I'm gonna cut to the news music. Do you like the news intro?
Do you know what? I absolutely love it.
Do you? Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Bye, Laura. Bye, everyone. Bye. Thanks. What's up, fundraisers? This is Simon Scriver.
And this is Nikki Bell, and we are the founders of the virtual fundraising conference, Fundraising Everywhere.
And we have just launched Fundraising Everywhere membership. So if you want full access to the virtual conference every November, if you want full access to the Fundraising Everywhere festival in May, if you want bonus downloads, if you want access to extra sessions, if you want access to VIP events, if you want access to all of my masterclasses online, if you want Pizza for Losers discount, if you want all this stuff and loads more, and a whole bunch of other stuff, which we can't even cram into this tiny podcast ad. But if you want part of that, then go to fundraisingeverywhere.com, become a member, be part of the family, pay a small monthly membership fee to us, and you'll get all of this stuff.
Will that do?